Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, May 17th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Sitka weaver Terry Rothgar is the 2013 Rasmussen Distinguished Artist. The annual award is given by the Rasmussen Foundation to an Alaskan artist with a history of accomplishment. It brings with it a $40,000 prize. KCAW's Ed Ronco talked to Rothgar at her Sitka studio on Thursday afternoon.
Up a staircase, through a bedroom, and there it is. A room lit by skylights and tall windows. The studio where Terry Rothgar weaves her work.
Ground zero for creativity.
It is in the studio that Rothgar has shelves of books on subjects ranging from Russians in Alaska to Tlingit ethnobotany. Bins on a low shelf hold wool.
Mountain goat, merino, alpaca and bison, because I did use the buffalo wool for that robe for the Park Service. And then dog. I'm working on a dog robe.
There's a spinning wheel in the middle of the room and a weaving frame on which hangs the beginnings of her next project. And over on one of the shelves, right next to an elegant blue vase, is a small frame holding the picture of a shirtless, chiseled man.
Oh, he's just purely inspiration.
Did he come with a frame or
No, I put him in that frame. I've probably had him for 30 years and he's still inspiring. Yeah, I think that's the one thing that I've actually had to frisk out of gal's hands. I'm like, you put that right back.
Of course, Rothgar's real inspirations for her work come from all around her. Maybe it's a story told by a family member or the 1964 Alaska earthquake. She calls herself a basket weaver, but much of her work is traditional Tlingit raven's tail robes. Baskets, she says, big baskets that hold people. Rothgar has been weaving for years. Her work is often surprising, incorporating an unusual color or a new feature, like DNA symbols woven into a recent robe that she did about goats. She says finding new ways to appreciate the art is important.
That's where the rubber meets the road, is are you still doing it? Does it still inspire you? Are you still excited to get in there and do the dirty work? Absolutely, you know.
Why?
There's so many more discoveries, you know. It's like the ocean that we haven't explored. It's all of those worms.
I remember interviewing you a few years back for a robe you were working on for the national park.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remember about that interview is you opened a drawer that the robe was sitting in before it was unveiled, and you spoke to the robe.
Yes.
I hear a lot of personification in the way you talk about your art.
Oh, well, it embodies the place, right? It's a reflection of, maybe it was a reflection in that case, a reflection of that history of the park and that place of the park. But, oh, this robe over here that's about the mountain goat on Baranoff Island has the double helix DNA stranding. The science that I've embedded in it, the double helix, is accurate. So there are the two populations on each side of the robe. I guess they are an entity, just as the materials that I harvest, the tree people and, you know, the ferns and the place that we're at. You know, we live here, but there's others that have been living here for many more thousands of years than us. So, yeah, I think we're just, it's relationships.
Rothgar received her award from the Rasmussen Foundation at an event in Anchorage. She says the money will help her take some time to focus on art for the sake of art, rather than worrying about weaving things that will earn money.
Rasmussen has such a leap of faith to support all these artists, and they're calling it a vision. But for us, it's our journey. You know, they're making our journey possible.
Not a lot of people do what Rothgar does, but she's working to share her art form. She's demonstrated and taught all over the country. And when she started, she says she felt like what she was doing was on the verge of going away.
It seemed like such a fragile art form. There's very few baskets. I think the Tlingit basketry was declared lost in the 50s. So I felt like I was, you know, just single-handedly helping hold it up. And the robes, there's so few of them. And there's getting to be more. But again, here I was, you know, really feeling so much like the carrier of the culture. And I realize now, whoops, this basketry, the weaving, it's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. I'm the one that's fragile. The art will continue on.
On the way out the door, Rofkar sits me down in front of her computer and plays a video produced for the Rasmussen Foundation. On the screen, she is sitting at the spinning wheel in her studio.
My name is Terry Rofkar. Chase Kuutla in Tlingit. I am a raven from the snail house, Duktaintan.
And as she finishes introducing herself, this music begins to play and her name zooms onto the screen in big letters. It is a startling contrast from the woman we just saw at the spinning wheel, but as it turns out, it's the perfect choice by the filmmaker.
This is not music somebody would normally associate with
spinning and weaving. I love heavy metal.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Like who?
Primus. Land us out of...
Another surprise from Terry Rofkar. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can link to a mini-documentary about Rofkar commissioned by the Rasmussen Foundation on our website, kcaw.org. A Forest Service geologist has discovered a volcano near Misty Fjords National Monument. This volcano won't be closing down air traffic anytime soon. It's deep underwater. KRBD's Layla Carey reports.
About 10,000 years ago, give or take a couple thousand years, a volcano blew its top in the middle of Beam Canal. The crater is still there, covered by 150 feet or so of water. But when the volcano exploded many thousands of years ago, it was not underwater. That's what makes it so interesting. Well, that and the fact that nobody currently living knew it was even there until just a few weeks ago. U.S. Forest Service geologist Jim Bachtel, who's based on Prince of Wales Island, and Anchorage geologist Sue Carl were looking at some hydrographic surveys. That's something geologists tend to do.
And when we were done, I noticed that the area from Thorn Arm and round Alva Point and up Beam Canal into Rudyard had been surveyed. And I thought, well, we've done a bunch of work back there. It'd be kind of fun to go see what the bottom of the ocean looks like in Beam Canal. And so I zoomed in, and there was this large, what was apparently some kind of cinder cone or some kind of volcano on the bottom of Beam Canal just south of New Eddystone Rock.
And these were previously not known to be there.
Correct, because this new NOAA survey with this high-quality bathymetry allowed us to see things that people have never seen before.
That was Bachtel and Carl, who were in Ketchikan recently. They came by KRBD along with UAS Juno geology professor Kathy Connor to talk about the underwater volcano. The volcano erupted within the last 13,000 years after the ice retreated, as the land was slowly bouncing back, and when sea levels were lower. They figured out most of this stuff just from examining the surveys, but Bachtel wanted to see it in person, or as close to in person as possible. Luckily, he knows some people who can make that happen. Gary Freitag with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Marine Advisory Program and Barbara Morgan with Oceans Alaska. They have an ROV, or Remote Operated Vehicle. It's a small device that can dive to the bottom of the ocean, get clear video or photographs, and collect samples. On an unseasonably snowy May morning, they went out with Bachtel on an Allen Marine boat to look for what he calls the wee beastie on the bottom of the sea. Using location data from the survey charts, the skipper was able to park the catamaran right on top of the crater, and they quickly sent the ROV into the water.
From that, we could see the kind of the angle of the slopes of it and the material. We did one deep dive about 340 feet down, and it was large, blocky chunks of lava. And when we got to the top, it was a mixture of cinders and stones on the top. So you could kind of tell some of the way the thing was put together, basically, that maybe the lower material was actually volcanic erupted lava that was quenched in the marine environment, and the upper stuff was the airfall ejecta that came out and made the cone itself.
They also grabbed two rock samples, which will be chemically analyzed to determine a more exact age of the eruption. Volcanoes show up along faults in the Earth's crust, so when the fault moves enough to expose magma, that can lead to a volcanic eruption. Since faults don't go away, volcanic eruptions in southeast Alaska are possible in the future.
There's really, with the evidence we have and the geologic age of the things that are there, there's no reason why it couldn't. I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
The newly discovered volcano is very close to New Eddystone Rock, which is what's left over from another volcano, which may have erupted around the same time frame. They're both near the entrance to Misty Fjords National Monument. In Ketchikan, just a little bit west of Misty Fjords, I'm Layla Carey.
Work should begin soon on the first phase of work at the Alaska Capitol. The work will include a seismic retrofit of the building and other renovations. Alaska Commercial Contractors Incorporated won the $1.7 million bid to perform the first phase of work. Part of that work will include addressing structural deterioration, but the building's signature columns won't go away. But the upper limestone portion of the portico over the entrance with the words Alaska State Capitol will be removed so concrete beams can be installed. The portico will remain unfinished until the second phase of the project, which includes an exterior makeover with new windows. The intent is to restore the building as close as possible to its original 1931 appearance. Alaska transportation officials say the second video of a two-part series focuses on the challenges of building and maintaining rural airports in the state. The series was produced by the State Department of Transportation. The newly released second video, Alaska's Aviation Lifeline, Counting the Costs, was filmed at airports across the state. The first video, Alaska Aviation Lifeline Story, was released last year and shows how aviation is a lifeline for 82% of the communities in the state. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Currently in Sitka, it's 47 degrees under overcast skies. Expect some rain with highs around 52. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.